Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Tamerlan Tsarnaev, one of the Boston bombing suspects who died last week, was listed on one of the U.S. government's largest and most highly classified databases of suspected and potential terrorists. But because the database is so vast, investigators do not routinely monitor everyone listed there, according to a Reuters report out this morning.
More than 500,000 names are on the list, known as the Terrorist Identities Data Mart Environment, or TIDE. The database is maintained by the National Counterterrorism Center, and it's one of many such databases set up following the 9/11 attacks.
Joining us to talk more about these government tracking systems is Philip Mudd. He spent 20 years tracking terrorists at the Central Intelligence Agency before he moved to the FBI's National Security Branch. He is now retired from government service. Philip Mudd, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Let me start by pointing out that Reuters reported that Tsarnaev's name was put on the TIDE list after the FBI interviewed him in 2011 following a tip from Russian authorities. And even though the FBI found nothing to suggest he was an active terrorist threat then, his name went on the list anyway. So explain to us a little bit more, who is on the TIDE list, how do they get there, and what happens when a name is put there?
Well, you have a standard screening process, not necessarily to determine whether someone is a terrorist, but to determine whether it's someone who you have reasonable suspicion. So you're talking about multiple tiers. The top tier would be called no-fly. That is, people you're certain about and who aren't going to get on an airplane. But as you mentioned in the lead-in, there are tens of thousands of people who might have, for example, talked to the wrong person in their last life, or they might have been referred to us by the Russians, who were interested in, but who are not considered known terrorists.
Mm. So explain to me, I mean, Reuters reported that the more than 500,000 names end up representing about 450,000 actual people because of different spellings and aliases, that kind of thing. And there's an indication that that may be part of the problem, that the TIDE list, one of many, is already in and of itself so large and so bloated that it may be of limited use to investigators. I mean, what do you think about that sort of criticism?
I think it's worth looking at, but I think that's probably a misunderstanding of how a list like this might be used. For example, if you do a traffic stop in Peoria, would you want to know that someone 4 years ago was referred to us by a Foreign Security Service, even if we determined that we didn't think anything wrong was going on? I mean, you have a bit of a challenge here to say, well, we haven't turned up anything that suggests this person is actually a terrorist, but we're going to keep her on the list because we might find data down the road that causes us greater suspicion.
Mm. Philip Mudd, help us take a step back here, because the TIDE list was one of several that were created after 9/11, in part to attack a particular problem. I mean, more than 10 years ago, we first began hearing about siloing and the fact that intelligence agencies weren't speaking to each other and there was no centralized system for tracking. TIDE was one of those databases that was supposed to help overcome that. And yet, perhaps in this case, we're still seeing someone like Tamerlan Tsarnaev slipping through the cracks. So do you think the databases are achieving the purpose that they were initially created to do?
I think if Americans are concerned about the kinds of siloing you refer to that happened in the U.S. government years ago, I would be less concerned. I think what they don't understand is when you look at cases in isolation, you forget about the problem of false positives. That is, terrorism in the world I used to live in is not one or two cases that are episodic. It is a massive volume business. We have a lot of problems with extremism in this country, and those problems are not just in New York or L.A. They are across the country. So when you look at one case and say, you know, maybe we got it wrong, I'd say, hold on just a minute. If you want to find people like this, you're looking through thousands of cases. And if you don't occasionally take one off the table, you're going to end up looking at 100,000 people at once. It's just not a way you can do business.
Mm, yeah, I take your point there. On the other hand, we just learned yesterday that Tamerlan Tsarnaev did return to Russia. He traveled to Russia just last year. And as you mentioned at the top of our conversation, even though he wasn't on a no-fly list of any kind or heightened security list, the government was aware of this trip because he essentially, quote-unquote, pinged the system. Here's Department of Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano, who spoke to this issue yesterday before the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Yes, the system pinged when he was leaving the United States. By the time he returned, all investigations had been closed.
So, Philip Mudd, I guess my last question to you, given that, is that here we have a case where someone on a major database did ping the system. There was a trembling of awareness around his trip to Russia. Nothing happened as a result of that. So what would you like to see going forward next time these pings in and of themselves come up when the system seems to detect some sort of activity of a person of interest?
Well, a quick comment on what the word ping means. There are a couple of categories of people who are what's called no-fly or selectee. That is, a selectee is someone that you're interested in but who is not a confirmed terrorist. You might pull him aside. You might look at his luggage. That's a lot different than the very small list of people who are no-fly. That is, prohibited from getting on an aircraft. I think what needs to happen here is we need to take a breath. There's a lot. I live in Washington. There's a lot of political action going on in this town. Take a breath, look at a timeline, and ask two questions. One of which is being asked now. The first question is there a way we can improve? And before we do that, take a breath. The second is, before we improve, let's make sure we understand the implications of that. If you want to find people who are looking at extremist websites, that's probably 5% of the American population. We've got to ask questions not only about what happened, but about what the consequences are of trying to stop every single thing that happens in a country that relies on civil liberties as its foundation.
Well, Philip Mudd is the former deputy director of the National Security Branch of the FBI and former deputy director of the CIA's Counterterrorism Center. Philip Mudd, it was a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.